this is The Toolbox. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney, and this is the point where I'd normally say, and joining me as always is my sweet cheese Hamish Smith, but he's away back to Bonnie Scotland for a few days, so it's just yours truly. Don't worry too much, I've got a good show planned for you. I'm going to talk about what happened in Liverpool last week. Obviously, being from Liverpool, it hit quite close to home, literally. And out of that, I want to talk a bit about drug use and drug abuse. So let's get into it.
Saddle up your horses, cowboy. For the only men's issue show in all of radio. The Toolbox. Yeehaw!
You're listening to The Toolbox on Spark. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney. And as I previously said, no Hamish with me this week, but worry not. I'm here to guide the good ship Toolbox through till 11 p.m. I've got the usual stuff. I'm about to unpack the invisible backpack, and then I'm going to talk a little bit later on in the show about drug use and drug abuse, especially in relation to what happened in Liverpool last weekend. I'm not going to talk about specifics of the case because he's now been charged. It's now going to be an ongoing, you know, court case. I'm not going to libel myself, but from the perspective of someone, one, who's from Liverpool, but two, works in hospitality, I work in pubs, there's just a lot that I feel needs to be said that we don't confront ourselves with. So let's get into unpacking the backpack. My backpack this week is incredibly light. I've been very, very busy, but it's been good busy. So obviously last weekend, Sunderland got promoted to the Premier League. As a lifelong Sunderland fan, overjoyed. It felt like one of those little things that's like, oh, this is going to be a, like, you know, the back end of this year is going to be amazing. Then on the Sunday, it was my birthday. I'm not going to say how many trips around the sun I've made, but it's enough where I can make that noise when I get up off the couch. You know the one. When you're suddenly like, ah. It's the involuntary noises, you know, all of those coming in. I'm that old. And then I've been over to, like, see my nan, who lives in Durham. I went there for a night, hung out with them during the next day, and then got spoilt to some dinner, homemade dinner by me, godparents, and it's been a very social week, a very busy week, but a very happy week. I think last week, you know, nerves going into the big game on Saturday wasn't ideal, but yeah, it's all good. Anyway, how are you? How's your backpack? If it's light, then I'm glad to hear it. If it's not, then I'm sorry, keep on trucking. I'm sorry you've had a hard week. It's okay. If you don't have the hard weeks, then the good weeks don't mean as much, do they? Just means you got through another one. Have a little reset. Take the time. Heal. Rest. You know. Have a nice hot shower. Have a good something to eat. And, you know, compliment a stranger's hat. May not mean anything to them, might just confuse them and scare them, but you'll be like, I genuinely felt like they had a nice hat. I know, yeah. Like, Rolly, you're rambling. The invisible backpack, right, as a concept, I was first introduced to it when I was working away in the USA. I worked with a Scottish Malawian, I know, make it make sense, a guy called Harry, and I'm going to do a really bad, like, Malawian accent, but he was white, so therefore it's not racist. He'd be like, yeah, Rolly, everyone has an invisible backpack. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, man, like, everyone's got an invisible backpack. You don't know how heavy it is. You know, sometimes, like, your backpack can be really heavy and you just need, like, some kindness to help you carry it. I was like, oh, God. Like, he was just, like, a kind of sporty bro. You know what I mean? Like, I never considered him to be that deep. So, yeah, so, like, when you meet someone, if they're being short, maybe their backpack is just really heavy and you should just think that their backpack is heavy. I'm like, wow, okay, like, and that kind of changed my perspective a lot. You know, people can change perspective. You know, it's important, isn't it? Like, it's then when I started to listen more, and I mean, I didn't talk less because I don't think I'm capable of that. That's why I thought, I'll get into radio. That way I can get all my talking out and I'll be better all around. But no, I just added to me talking a lot. Yeah, that was a cool job. I worked at a theatre camp for 6 years. And it was just really ridiculous fun. Anyway, I'll stop bragging about, you know, the cool life I used to have. What we'll do is we'll have some music and then I will get into the main focus of the show, which is drug abuse and especially in relation to what happened last weekend. So let's kick off with a local flavour. This is Farmers by Houseproud, aka one of the best live bands you will ever see. So keep an eye out on the socials and try and see them. And if you're able to book them, because you'll be like, I got to put on a cool band. No, it's Farmers by Houseproud. Siren by Tearjerker here on Spark. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney, and you're listening to The Toolbox. I was speaking to Mick when I asked him to record that little intro to Siren, and he was telling me that their new record is on track. It needs to be mixed, but that is going to be out in the autumn, so keep your eyes peeled for that one on socials, because they're brilliant live as well. Like, they're always worth the ticket price, so if you get a chance to go see Tearjerker, go out and see them. This is The Toolbox, like I've said, and this week I want to talk to you a bit about the events in Liverpool last week. Obviously, fans were celebrating Liverpool winning the league, and if you've been living under a rock, a people carrier mowed through a portion of the crowd. I have to be careful how I word this, because Phil Doyle has since been charged, and obviously, first and first most, yeah, everyone at Spark hopes everyone is okay. But my heart just sank when I saw it coming through. I was at work, and I knew family and friends were there. That was my first thought. I'm thankful, so thankful that all my mob are okay. But, you know, goes without saying that shouldn't happen. And the fact is, because of social media and because of, you know, people really, really losing perspective of what's appropriate to share with people. I've seen the incident from multiple angles. I have not ever had a desire when I heard about it to see it from multiple angles. And I think that in times of tragedy, and I know that we have cameras on our phones, but not every single moment, especially one that is as horrific as that, needs to be shared. You know, like, especially when it's people in distress, and I understand that people will go, people have turned around and gone, you know, oh, well, you know, it's showing proof on the ground of two-tier policing and this and that and everything else. And they say this because within, you know, I mean, within 10 minutes of him being arrested, we knew he was a 53-year-old white British man. And people will turn around and go, but really, it's just proof that they took ages to tell us it was Axel Radakibana. And it's like, yeah, because last time you didn't get told quickly enough. The rumour mill circulated and you all went out and looted Greggs and, you know, burnt down a Citizens Advice Bureau and burnt down a library and tried to set people on fire within a hotel. So actually, like, the police's hand has been forced to a point where they have to. And to be honest, fair play to the police, you know, it could have massively escalated into massive civil unrest. And because they acted quickly, I think they played a large part in that not happening. And I'm not always the most praising of the constabulary forces, but, you know, a crowd that big, there was a million people lining the streets to, you know, see the trophy. Everyone having a big party. That can turn very, very quickly. You know, so it's one of the very few things I'm thankful out of that. The other thing I'm thankful for is that there were no, as of me talking now, there's no fatalities, which is amazing. Especially, you know, that footage was so disturbing. And there's a lot of unanswered questions, of course, but the main point I picked up on it, that people seem to be willfully ignoring. Well, not ignoring, but obviously the scale of what happened and how upsetting that was. For me, the idea that a 53-year-old man who'd taken, you know, they just said blanket drugs, but, you know, realistically, with the prevalence of cocaine in the UK, it wouldn't be hard to think that it's probably that, or the other one that's, you know, seems to be popular on a street level at the minute is ketamine. And I work in hospitality, right? So I think it gives me a good view of people generally, especially because I'm quite good at reading people, discerning people. And after 17 years working in pubs and bars, you kind of know the telltale signs of, you know, when people have taken drugs. And whenever people talk about drugs, all the young people taking drugs, it just ignores the fact that there's a whole generation who are, let's say, 35 plus, who are, like, you know, your quote-unquote, like, your weekend offenders. You know, they're out, they're on the sniff, they're, you know, getting aggressive and causing problems, and these aren't, you know, it's a very middle-class look in this view at drugs of, look at them, the great and wash, taking drugs. And it's, you know, it's your professionals. You know, I know of teachers, you know, nurses, you know, lawyers, you know, professions, like your professional sort of class. They were all really, really into it. And it's not even a hidden epidemic, everyone knows. You know. And I'm not sitting here with stats and figures. I'm not sitting here with, and this percentage said they've done this. And, you know, and compared to, like, younger people, like, it'll continue to be a problem, because the flip side of that is, like, the way it always used to work was, you know, your younger people, your 18 to 25-year-olds, would be the ones who'd be mad keen to get out and have drinks and go to a nightclub and throw down cheap vodkas and funny-looking, very colourful drinks. And then they get in at, like, you know, 3-4 in the morning after picking up, you know, a pizza or a kebab on the way home, and then, you know, that. But the flip side of that now is you've got, like, 26% of 18 to 25-year-olds have never touched alcohol. But alongside that, you see an increase in cannabis use, which, you know, I don't know if you know your local cannabis user, but not exactly, like, out or really up for causing too much mischief, because most of them just melt into the couch and watch Blue Planet, or Bluey, because a lot of them actually have the mental age of a child. Right, so then that brings us back to then, okay, so then who is then going out and causing problems and, you know, taking Class A drugs? And it's the people with the disposable income to be able to afford it. You know, that's the truth of it all. And you can be like, I'm not sitting here trying to preach, I'm not a saint. If you want to hear about my relationship with, you know, cannabis or whatever, go to your favourite podcast platform, find the first episode of The Toolbox, where I'm being like, yeah, so the reason why I feel I can do a talk about a mental health show is I had a 5-6 year period where I was miserable and I was drinking too much and making bad decisions. Read into me taking bad decisions as you want, smoking things I shouldn't have smoked and doing things I shouldn't have done. Right. Like, you know, like I said, but that also gives me skin in the game to talk about it. Right. It's a prestige thing and it's a, you know, whatever thing. And I've sat in groups of lads before, whether it's been like down the rugby club or building sites I've worked on, and people going, and these are like people who are like, you know, old enough to know better, who turn around and go, oh, I can't have a night out without buying a bag, which is their, you know, the cool people slang for, you know, buying a class A drug. And they'll turn around and go, yeah, like, do you not see then that then maybe the drinking's the problem and you should not go on there? And you're like, oh no, but I don't want to be boring. And you're like, just take responsibility for yourself, right? And I can understand people, like, I mean, there's no defence what happened in Liverpool. You know, like, the same as if you've had a few drinks, or anything to drink really, you shouldn't be behind the wheel of a car. Don't do, you know, loads of lines and then think, oh, I'm going to drive home through a million people. Like, get a grip. And then the other side that also, you know, jarred me from the fact that I've seen it from 3 different angles multiple times because social media is horrible, is this, right? When there's a very visceral human reaction to what happened, right? And when he eventually comes to a stop, fans swarm the car, and then, you know, the police then come in and break it up and arrest them and stuff. And obviously there's a lot of angry people, there's a lot of upset people. It was a euphoric day, from what I can tell from people I've spoken to, from looking at all the different videos everywhere. Everyone was out having a great time, and, you know, obviously, like, one idiot in a car has come through and ruined that. But, like, what I can never get behind with any sort of sense of fairness is if you look in the videos, there are masses of people chanting, kill him, kill him, kill him. And it's a very probably natural reaction to a horrible event. Right, I understand people who go, oh, the police should have just left him to be dealt with by the crowd. You know, like, the police should just, you know, give up and go, oh yeah, you know, brain, potentially violent mob, I've had it. You know, that's not justice. You know, luckily, thankfully, no fatalities. There's some serious injuries and the charges are out. He's been charged with, I think it's 7 charges he's got. He was 6 or 7. Need to double check. It's been a long day, I'm sorry. But look at it, like, you know, and then I go back to, he was a 53-year-old man who the first thing he got charged with was drug driving, and driving under the influence of drugs. Right. To a man and a woman in this country, everyone around knows, 100% knows people who, on the weekend, will have between 6 and 12 drinks and get probably a bag of something, usually cocaine. Right. And it's massively frustrating because I think there's probably a hidden addiction problem. Because you see people change over time. Like, you do. Like, I've seen it in some regulars in pubs I've worked in, where you can tell they're starting to get into that kind of a thing. And you're like, you can't say anything, because then you have to sort of deal with it. And it's the hospitality industry has really got its hands tied behind its back. Because of places like Wetherspoons, because, you know, of some of it, like, beer duty and everything else. You know, pints are more and more expensive now. A glass of wine is more and more expensive now. You know, double vodka and coke is more expensive now. So then the people are coming in and they're at least trying to be discreet. All these places have to turn a blind eye, which I'd love to be able to turn around and be like, well, we're all moral and we're all this and that, but frank, like, let's be honest, we're not, right? And I'm not going to start, you know, I'm not going to sit there and name names and go, oh yeah, you know, that person, maybe they're just like, you know, unmedicated ADHD and they're just really erratic, like, you know, the sort of signs are the same. Until, you know, they take offence over nothing or start telling you about all the great business ideas. But I think the naivety of, and it's like, and it is the, like, it is a minority, but it seems overly prevalent because it's not discreet. It's like if you get a bus and you can automatically, like, someone gets on who's smoked a joint and you're like, well, they've just blazed. Like, why can't? And you know, that's like overt and it's not discreet. But at the same time, people who were putting things up the nose aren't discreet either. And it's really, really jarring by the fact that, you know, it doesn't seem to be improving over time. You know, and it's more and more worrying that it's older and older people who are doing it. And at times, especially around Christmas, when people have their, like, inhibitions even lower, and they're not, you know, and they're not, you know, being accountable for themselves, and they're taking more risks, especially if they're out in a group. You know, what, especially, like, younger bar staff, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, in a lot of places, and a lot of pubs who, like, won't have bouncers and won't have, you know, security checking in. How are they meant to react? You know, it's like an 18-year-old who's got nothing on them approaching a group of 40-plus-year-olds who, you know, are taking something that makes them more aggressive. You know, you just hope they leave quick. You know, your level of customer service drops a bit. I'm not gonna lie, like, it's to a point now where if I suspect there's a group of, like, it's not even suspect, like, you know, the signs. I'll just, my customer service will just massively drop. So they'll be like, it's a rubbish near, let's go. I'm like, yes, you tell everyone who's like you not to come here and I will have a much easier life. Which you shouldn't admit, but, you know, it's just the truth. Unfortunately. And it's jarring. And, I mean, I won't go to court for a while. You know, it took quite a while for the Southport killer to go to trial. But, you know, he's already been in front of a judge getting, you know, his charges read to him and stuff. And I think he was only there to confirm his name and his address and whatnot. But I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not talking about the case, but the events are pertinent. You know, it's massively shocked everyone, and what's been quite nice is seeing the outpour from all corners of the country in support of Liverpool, because over certain things involving football, that love and support wasn't always there. You know, and we're a city who's been through a lot, and, you know, no city needs it. You know, no city needs that. But then the reaction was, you know, again, going back to how quickly they had to confirm his age and ethnicity and his nationality because of what's happened across Europe and happened, you know, even in America with Charlottesville. It was important to dispel any sort of rumour, you know. Well, because I don't care about him and he boils my blood, you know. Go online and see Joey Barton's original tweet he put out. You know, automatically assumed it was someone who wasn't white British. And it's disappointing that, you know, there's a lot of people who think that. There's a lot of people who do that, but, you know, I've said to everyone, you know, people reached out and been like, oh, hey, I hope, like, you know, your family and friends are okay. And to everyone who reached out, like, a massive thank you. Like, a massive thank you, because it didn't go unappreciated. Like, it really didn't. But I mean, what do you say? Apart from, like, that's really upsetting and really angry that happened. Like, luckily, like I said, like, so grateful there, but for the grace of God. You know, there's families and friend groups that were dealing with the fact that they were caught up and involved in that. And I hope that they're all getting the support that they need. You know, if there's anyone listening who's... If there's anyone listening who is, you know, in need of support and doesn't know where to go, You know, we always, at the end of the show, but I'll do it now. The number for Samaritans is 116123. If you're a man and you need peer-to-peer support, there's Andy's Man Club, and there are groups all up and down the country. And there's also peer-to-peer groups for women in your local area. Just get on the Google and find them. In Sunderland, there's some at the Beacon of Light, but it's just infuriating because I think like the two are linked. I think a key part in what happened was, you know, the drug abuse. It has to have been. You know, it's just insane. But I want to let's move on. Like, not move on from that. Like, we'll be dealing with the repercussions and the shock for a little while, I think. But let's move on to some great local talent here from Sunderland. This is Jenny Dean on Valentine's Day here on Spark. Walk Away by Cast here on Spark. I'm your favourite folk devil, Roly Joe Carney. And usually, I'd obviously say, here's Hamish Smith. My sweet cheese, my good time boy. But no, just to add on what I was saying earlier, I was talking about what happened in Liverpool and drug abuse. If you are someone now who needs that support, please go online and find your local addiction services. That was the one thing that I didn't say that I meant to. There's a lot of organisations out there to help. There's, you know, for booze, there's out and alcohol, there's Alcoholics Anonymous, and then, you know, there's also Narcotics Anonymous as well, NA. So if you need the help, I hope you get it. It's not much else really to say. There's it's the part of the show that Hamish likes to call the curtain closer. So we'll get into that really. Just because the conversation stops doesn't mean the conversation stops. If you urgently need to speak to somebody, the number for Samaritans is 116123. That's 116123. If you think peer-to-peer support might be more up your street, then in Sunderland we have not one but two Andy's Man Clubs. We've got one both sides of the river. So there's one at the Beacon of Light and there's one at Cale Road Library. They I've used Andy's before and it's been a massive help. I'm a sort of sporadic user, but there's some people who find real benefit from going week in, week out. And it can be really, really sort of, it's weird to say cheering, that you've met other people who've been maybe through similar things that you've been through and, you know, can show that it can get better and it does get better. And it's the most nerve-wracking thing in the world to walk through the doors for the first time, but you'll be welcomed with no judgment, a cup of tea, and hopefully they've got the good bickies out. That's at seven every Monday, 7 p.m. Based out of the Beacon of Light and Cale Road Library. And then if peer-to-peer support's not really your thing, then we also have Andy's Man. Let me start again, put my teeth back in. At Spark, we have our own phone-in show, The Bedtime Babylon. Now, at the moment, it's had a little bit of a tech issue with the phone lines, but they are working on it, so keep your eyes peeled. And you don't even really need to speak to them about anything heavy. I'm a repeat caller because I just like to crack with the lads. Kai and Hayden have been doing it for years, and to be honest, like, they're good lads, they know what they're doing, and they're good crack. So even if you just need like a little perk up, a little pick me up, they're usually good for that. And then if you want to hear more from me, then I also host Home Time every Tuesday from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Bring you the best new tunes, the best in pop, and also great local music. And I also like to have a little bit of fun with it. It's sort of how I keep my radio balance. And you can get that either, if you're local to Sunderland, 107 FM. Spark now has an app as well. So get onto the iTunes store, the App Store, and the Google one. Yeah, I can never remember what it's called. I'm awful. And download it, and you can also listen back on there. And we also put this show out as a podcast every Tuesday. Tuesday or Wednesday, depends. The tech issues have extended to some of the editing things, so we'll see what we can do. So this has been The Toolbox. I've been your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney, and I'll see you again next week at 10 p.m.
I'm a man, and it's okay to feel overwhelmed.
I'm a man, and it's okay to cry.
I'm a man, and it's okay to ask for help.
I'm a man, and I don't need to be perfect.
This has been The Toolbox.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next week at 10 p.m.